The Holy Epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, at verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So far the reading. In the name of our Lord, this week of the 16th Sunday after Trinity has traditionally focused on the truth that the Son of God has power over death, and that truth gives hope to the faithful. Even before he himself experienced death and resurrection, Jesus gave several previews, so to speak, of his coming victory over death. He stopped a funeral procession at the town of Nain in Galilee. He touched the coffin of a deceased young man and gave a simple command. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and spoke, and Jesus presented him alive to his widowed mother. Death was compelled to give up its victim by the word of Christ. Jesus stood at the deathbed of the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, and in the midst of the sounds of mourning and even ridicule at his claim that this death was but a sleep, Jesus took the child by the hand and said, "Talitha kumi, little girl, arise." And immediately she arose and walked. Death was compelled to give up its victim by the word of Christ. Jesus stood at the open door of the tomb of his friend Lazarus at the town of Bethany, and he called into the tomb, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, came out. Death was compelled to give up its victim by the command of Christ. It was in the light of the great truth that the Son of God wields power over death that St. Paul wrote these words, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." By these words, the apostle confessed, "I have a purpose as long as I am in this world, and I have hope when my life here is over." His purpose in life as an apostle of Jesus Christ was to proclaim the gospel, the power of God, for the salvation of mankind. So completely was he absorbed in that task that he talks about his life by means of a simple equation. To me, he says, to live is Christ. His life was shaped and defined by the fact that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, one sent forth into the world to announce that salvation had been won by the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God, and that salvation was distributed in the proclamation of the gospel in word and sacrament. But what if that apostleship that he held directly from Christ was taken away from him by death? If life was equated with having purpose in Christ, then logically was death the loss of purpose and the loss of Christ? Would death mean then that all was in the end meaningless and without purpose? St. Paul answers the question, of course, in an emphatic no. And he employs another equation to make his point. He simply says, to die is gain. Death equals gain. Now there, I submit, is a challenging statement. To die is gain. Death is by its very nature the ultimate loss. Death, by definition, is deprivation. Death is about removal. Death is about things being taken away. But in the face of these things, St. Paul makes the assertion, to die is gain. And that means that death has been transformed. It has been changed radically. What had been the experience of ultimate separation from God and the loss of all hope of anything ever being changed for the better has become instead simply the departure from this life as we know it to an existence that the apostle describes as being with Christ. And this, he contends, is far better. Right after our short reading, the apostle says that he experienced a sense of being torn between two things. "I am hard-pressed between the two," he writes. On the one hand, he had the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he considered the far better choice as far as his personal happiness was concerned. And on the other hand, he recognized in his call to be an apostle something that was vital and necessary for the church. Through his apostleship, God served the spiritual needs of the faithful. Their progress in the faith and their joy in the faith was served by the ministry of the Lord's apostle. And it's our progress in the faith and our joy in the faith that is served ultimately by this apostolic word. Concerning the Old Testament scriptures, Paul wrote in another letter, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." And what had been true of the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament became true also of St. Paul's inspired writings of the New Testament. These things were written to give us a sense of purpose for our lives now and hope in the face of death. And what a precious thing it is to have purpose and hope. We can think about these things at two different levels relating to the two kingdoms in which we live. Pursuing an education, I would submit, is a sign that one has a clear sense of purpose and a sense of hope as far as this world is concerned. Through our education, we come to understand the various vocations we will hold in life. And we are not talking here first and foremost simply about jobs. Our vocations include the roles we will play in life, in family relations, in being responsible citizens, and then also engaging in honorable careers by which we provide for ourselves and serve our neighbor. And even in a fallen world, where the ground is cursed because of our sin, and thorns and thistles grow in abundance, and work involves sweat and toil and discomfort and drudgery, we can achieve a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction that our lives have purpose. To be a student is to have such a hope that it will be so for you. But it's not just for this life that we have hope. If our hope is connected only to the things of this world, then hope is really dashed ultimately. Death triumphs. It sweeps everything away. Death is not ultimately just a biological phenomenon. It is spiritual. It has to do with the breakdown of our relationship to our Creator. Its cause is sin. It is the ultimate work of the devil. It is the sentence spoken by the curse of the law, which we have broken. It is inevitable. Its horrors are unspeakable. It is hell, and we are helpless in the face of it. Ancient Israel stood trapped between the chariots of the Pharaoh of Egypt and the waters of the sea. There was no place of safety, no route of escape. All was hopelessness and despair. But thanks be to God. The gospel enables us to say with St. Paul, "To die is gain." God opens the way and transforms death itself. This is the case only because mighty death has been dealt with by one who is mightier still. The Son of God in human flesh has abolished death and has destroyed this work of the devil. Death is swallowed up in his victory. He brings life and immortality to light for us through the gospel. The light of the gospel still shines for us here. It is the power of God which enables us to say from the heart, "To die is gain," and blessed are we in that hope and confession. Let us all pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be made flesh, that by his death he might atone for our sins and deliver us from eternal death. We pray, confirm in our hearts the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, who with but a word raised the widow's son, in like manner will raise us on that last day and grant us eternal life through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.